All right, good morning, everyone. If we could all find our seats, please. Okay. So this morning, what was laid on my heart is I feel like right now, we just need to give God what we have. A lot of us, that may not be much, but this morning when I was listening to worship, Upper Room, they had a prophetic moment, and they talked about the little drummer boy, how he didn't have much to give, but what he did have was his praise, and he chose to give that to God. And that's what matters. It's choosing to give what you have to God and to mean it as you do. So this morning, if we could all lift up our hands and just give your praise to God. Yeah. Lay down like all stress, anything that is not from Him, at His feet, and give Him your praise. And God, I just pray that this morning, every heart would be open to receive what you have in return. And I thank you for everyone that is here today, that they're here for a purpose, that you have something for each and every one of them, that you're ready to receive the things that they have to give you. And God, I just bless every person here, Lord, with abundant peace. There'd be no shame. Everything would be laid down. In Jesus' name.
Captives free. You came to bring us liberty. And my sin and my rejection met your blood and my acceptance. And now I'm alive to bring you praise. Yeah, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Sin. Your grace grace empowers me to win. My pain and my oppression met your blood and my acceptance. And now I'm alive to bring you praise. Yeah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on, church, sing this out.
Shout it.
shout of praise today, church. Can we get excited about Jesus a little bit? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that we get to worship you today, God. We thank you, Jesus, that we get to gather today, God, that we don't have to be here. We didn't have to wake up this morning. We didn't have to put our Sunday best on. We didn't have to come into this building, but we get to, Lord. We get to come and worship you, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're pouring out your goodness over your children today. God, I just pray that you would begin stirring something up, God. If there's anything, any roadblock, any boundary, Lord, that is keeping any person in this place from receiving your goodness, receiving your blessing, receiving just the love that you have freely poured out over your children, God, I just pray right now, Lord, you would break it, Lord. You would break it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness.
Oh, my life, you have been so.
voice. Let's just sing this out one more time.
And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Just the voices, all my life.
The goodness of God, as I will sing of the goodness of God. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh,
church.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Yeah, we declare it. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Oh, you know.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Walking out of the house to come over and into the prayer room to pray, my twin sister was telling us on the news this morning. She read where revival has broken out in Kentucky, and it's been going on now 7 or 8 days. I'm not sure how long, but I got to thinking, and I was saying to the Lord deep inside me, Lord, we've been asking for revival like forever. You know, what do we got to do? And as I was saying that inside myself, but to the Lord, he's like, because you've been satisfied on too little. And it reminded me of a time where I had flown back to Michigan about 20 years ago, and I was speaking on that very subject about being satisfied on too little. And the Lord gave me an analogy. Our son was only 2.5 or 3, and he still loved his bottle so much. And if he could get a hold of a bottle, he would suck that bottle dry. And then when he sat down to eat dinner with us, he was full from that bottle. And so he just picked at his food. He was getting to be the age where he needed more nutrition than a bottle could give. But he had this fake fullness about him. And so he didn't eat the meat, the vegetables, the good things on his plate because he wasn't hungry anymore. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Are you hungry? Like really, really, really hungry?" And as we were down in the prayer room, that was one of the prayers prayed through Pastor Eric, is, "God, make us hungry enough." And so, first off, this is going to be just between y'all and the Lord. What do you need to repent of that has satisfied you that wasn't him? Even if it was something good, you know, going and loving on your neighbor, or you know, calling and asking our sweet Phyllis how she's doing because she can't make it to church. Those things are good. But is it really meat? Is it doing what you need to do? Is it eating what's easy? Or are you just so desperately hungry for the depth of God that you're willing to do whatever it takes to receive that? Those people, when it started, it was just a few students at a college that had gone to church, at a Baptist church. And they got together and they started singing. And when church got over, they kept singing. They kept praising Jesus. They kept hungering after righteousness. What are you hungry for? Is it to just get it done for the week so you can say you did? Or are you just like, "I need more, Jesus, of you. I need more. I am not satisfied any longer with what I have. I need more of you." So, Jesus, we just open ourselves up to you, Lord. We just bear ourselves to say, "God, help us to, one, desire the meat, the depth of who you are. Help us to hunger after that. Because those that hunger after righteousness, they're going to be fed and they're going to be made whole. Jesus, help us to be hungry for more of you. Lord, don't let us be satisfied with the same old, same old. Help us to hunger after stuff we don't even know and recognize that we need. Forgive us, Lord, for being satisfied on the milk. Forgive us, Lord, for taking the easy road out. Help us to want what you want. Help us to desire you as you are. No matter what that looks like in us. Oh, Lord, we love you. Receive what little we have. Receive it, Lord, and make it more, God. Who's hungry this morning? Who needs more from the Lord this morning? Who wants more? The presence of Jesus is so sweet. Who needs to feel that presence?
Jesus. We love you, Lord. Does anybody have anything else that goes along with that? It's kind of what the Lord gave to Skyly this morning. Who needs something from the Lord? Anybody? Jesus. Jesus. Yeah. What
home? Just to come and drink of that water of his this morning, just as a deer would go to the that drinking water and just drink it in and drink it in. Drink it in.
Now nothing is holding me back from you, Redeemer of my soul. Thank you.
split the sea for me, so I can walk right through. 'Cause I'm your child, 'cause I'm your child.
Chains falling. Hear them falling and feel them falling. The chains of sin are not on us because God breaks them from us. And you need to declare that. He wants to hear you declare that. I see those chains falling. Chains falling,
falling, falling, falling.
I see those chains falling. I feel those chains falling.
Discussing chains that had been put on us by people who were supposed to protect us. Chains from childhood can be carried into our adulthood, and we don't even realize it. And the only way they get let go is if we let God take them off of us. And we discussed that too, that the freedom that you feel when you've become free from chains that other people have put on you. So if you're thinking that you have these things that you've heard all your life that tell you you're not good enough, that tell you you don't meet up to his standards, those are chains that people put on your life, and they're not true, and they're not chains for you to keep. They're chains for you to let Jesus take off of you and tell you, you do meet my standard. You are my child. I love you, and you are good enough. Because I've made you good enough.
Amen. Why don't you guys take a minute and then greet one another? In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, church. Let's find your seats. But don't get too comfortable, because we are going to do our declaration, the Heart of the House declaration. For those of you who aren't familiar or curious about why we do this, is we just believe there's power in when we declare. We have one for our city. We declare over our city, and this one's specifically for One Life Family Worship. And these are things that not only we believe we will see, but we believe we are seeing. And so this is something that we as a staff have really, really put our hearts into, and believe that as we declare this, as we get in one heart in unison together as a church family, that we will begin to see more of this stuff. Amen? All right, so do me a favor. Let's stand. And we're going to say this in unison with all of our heart, like we believe that we are seeing it. Amen? Amen. Here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this church. God, I thank you specifically for One Life Family Worship. I thank you, Lord, for the geographical location that we get to influence. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, God, in and through our church, God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for our pastors. We thank you, Father, for every person that calls this place home. Thank you, Lord, for every ministry, Lord, for the youth ministry, the women's
the men's ministry, God. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you're moving. You have a plan, Lord, for this house, Lord, and that this house is prosperous. And we thank you, Jesus, that you love us and that you're with us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, so we have a few announcements. We're going to mention this for a while. We just want to put it at the forefront of everybody's mind that we are a house of prayer. We believe that prayer works. We believe that prayer is important. We believe that prayer is vital. And so we, from time to time, we do these prayer nights, but every Sunday we have pre-service prayer. So downstairs, we have a prayer room on this side of the building. If you go down these stairs and there's a sign on the door that says prayer room, and we've invested some time and some energy into creating a space where we just believe that that when you create a space for God, something happens. And so every Sunday morning, everyone is invited. Anybody who wants to come, and this isn't, you know, this isn't, we're not locking you in. Ha ha! Now you're here. You got to come every Sunday. They did that to me, but that's different. And so that's a joke. But we do prayer every Sunday morning, and it's just a time where we get to pray for the morning. We get to pray for one another, and so everyone is encouraged and invited to come Sunday mornings. Next thing, we're doing a spaghetti fundraiser. So we did this last year. This is the last Sunday of the month, February 26th. Is that what that says? Okay. And so this is a youth fundraiser. And so this is just an opportunity for our house to pour into what's happening in the youth ministry here at One Life Family Worship. We meet on Sunday nights, and God is just doing something great and mighty. And we're just looking to raise money to, you know, have funds to go to camp and to do different events and to, you know, buy Red Bull and stuff like that, you know, things that we do with our youth kids. And so everyone's encouraged to come and invite your friends, invite your family, give us all of your money, and we will spend it accordingly. And so that'll be a great time. Yes, it's after church. And so, like I said, youth, Sunday nights, 6:30. If you know a youth student, junior high to high school, please let them know that we're here and we could hang out. And then we have Gaylene does a women's group on Zoom. That's her number there. And then Pastor Mike does one on Wednesday, and that's his number. And those are great opportunities for, I would say these are pretty not so intimidating times for if you have a person that maybe doesn't have a place to connect, that you could say, hey, I have these groups that we can jump on Zoom together. You could stay home and you don't have to go anywhere, and we're going to talk about Jesus for an hour. And so those are their numbers there. If you're interested in that, you can get connected there. And then last but not least, and Mike and Gay, you guys can join me up here. Thank you guys for giving. Thank you guys for pouring into the house, what God's doing. Your offerings, your tithes do not go unnoticed and unappreciated. We believe that God's doing mighty things through this house. And so just thank you guys for sowing into it. You could donate online. You could donate. We have a box up here and a box in the back. And we love you guys. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We love you too.
Praise the Lord. It's a good worship time this morning, wasn't it? You know, Let's just call it mainline church. The idea of going and having a worship time is really, there's like an atmosphere a lot of them create. You know, smoke, lights, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that really draws you to the Lord, but it can be really presentation based. It's not, you know, I'm sure not every heart is thinking that, but it can be. And there's sometimes not a lot of room in the way that they design it for the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and move.
Spontaneity,
yeah. So, you know, if you're not used to what we do here, what we're attempting is to allow the Lord to lead the service in every aspect of it. Like today, Gay was transitioning, and she came and she just walked back from the mic. And, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, well, we didn't transition. So, okay, Lord, then you've got something else that you want to do. And just a few minutes later, obviously, you know, Skylie got kind of a song in her heart. She started singing it, and then Vicky got the song in her heart as well. And it may just sound like words, but we have to realize that if we can wait and tarry, we never know what God's going to do. We never know how he could break out. We never know what he might do in someone's heart, even though we may not even see it. Someone may be transformed for the rest of their life. And to me, that's more important than to finish a song set or to start greeting each other. It's more important for us to truly be changed and transformed into the likeness of Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we never said anything on Sunday morning, yet people, that was happening to people, I would be fine with that. If we were never singing another song, yet people came into this house and were changed and transformed more to the image of Christ, I would be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because that's really what we're called to do, is we're called to help others be introduced to Christ, but then also, how do we allow them to let Christ change them from the inside out? How many know that you can't change anybody? I can't change anybody. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can sometimes speak encouraging words, words that challenge each other, a song that may challenge us. Maybe God's been dealing with us with something all week long, and then a song comes up or a word comes up, and all of a sudden that word is connected with what God's already doing in us, and a transformation takes place. And to me, that's church. To me, that's the body Amen. Of Christ living and being who we're called to be. So Amen. if you sense like, well, why are we moving to something else? Just pause for a moment, take a breath. Like I had to. You're like, oh, I thought we were transitioning. For a moment, I had to like, okay. I pray this every Sunday morning. Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on this place, in us, in this service. As you so desire in heaven, let it be fulfilled. I pray that every Sunday morning, a lot of times before we leave. I don't know if I did those exact words, but that's my heart. And then sometimes I'm praying, Lord, if we aren't in connection with you, if we don't know what you want to do, then move on us, you know, and allow us to be changed and even challenged to follow your will. And so that's our heart. And so that's why you see us sometimes pressing in and tarrying and waiting to see what God might do next. Amen? Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay.
Well, Amen. I didn't feel like saying, okay, now you can go and greet each other and shake hands, because it was so heavy on me. I didn't want to move on. I wanted to stay there. And so when I started walking over, I kind of saw written across his eyes, startled look, like, oh, no, she didn't transition, what we call transition, by saying, everybody, please greet each other, you know. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? But
and then she told me, she says, I didn't think we were done. I said, okay.
I could have done that all morning long and been very satisfied and happy. Thank you very much.
Amen.
But that's just
Amen. And the thing is, it's like, what are we here for? Who are we here for? Are we truly here for Jesus and each other? Because that's what preferring each other really means, is that we give each other an opportunity for God to touch them. That's why sometimes when we have a prayer time, you know, we're not moving on with the rest of the service. We're dealing with the prayer need because someone's life is being changed and transformed or healed. So
I do want to just ask a question. That I know of, everybody here has been in church for some amount of time. Has anybody's life ever changed from a Sunday morning service? Changed in what doing?
Me.
That tells us how important it is for us to allow Holy Spirit to minister to us on Sunday mornings, because our very life, spiritual life, could depend on it.
Yeah. Amen. So last week, started talking on Matthew 6:33, and we just basically looked at the verse from multiple translations and talked a little bit about what. Oh, it's not? Oh, hang on. Sorry, my bad. Is it there now?
I think so.
There it is. And so today we're going to basically take it to the next level and start breaking the verse down. Last week, we kind of just talked about the whole verse and the idea of what it means to Well, we'll see here in a moment. Let's go ahead and read. This is 6:31 through 33.
In the ESV, easy. What is it?
English Standard Version.
Oh, there we go. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, Gay pointed out something to me today. She goes, why is the for the Gentiles seek and but seek first two different words in the Greek?
The word seek in 32 and the word seek in 33.
Exactly. And they're very similar. They're very similar. But the real context, I think, is that when the Gentiles, and before I knew Christ, when I was seeking for something, it was like what I needed to be fulfilled. It's like whether it was food or whether it was money or whether it was a job, it's like I sought it because, and I thought I had to get it. I thought I was the one that would, you know, either, you know, finagle so that I would have the right job or, you know, work my fingers to the bone so that I have enough money or whatever it was. It was like I produced it.
You made it happen.
I made it happen. And that's really, you know, or, you know, as some people, you take it from somebody else. Someone in the world, they think, oh, that person has what I want. I'm going to take it from them because they want it so much. Mm-hmm. But in the kingdom, we're seeking God to be the one that fulfills all our needs, mm-hmm. both physical and spiritual. Right. So I think that's the difference.
So when he said... I asked him why there was two different translations. I just want to show you all something. This is in the ESORD, and this is just a commercial. Sorry. And so if you all look here, I don't know if you can see it or not, but this is like Hebrews. It's Hebrews 5 is the scripture, but there are five different versions of the Bible in this on this page for Hebrews 5, 12 through... I think it was 12 through 13. I'm not sure. But anyway, and so there's a version that's over here that has all of the definitions.
In the Strong's.
In the Strong's concordance for the Greek and Hebrew, mm-hmm. or just Greek. And that's how I knew that the seek in 32 was different, or 31. I can't remember the 31.
32.
32 and 33, the seek. That's how I knew that they were two different definitions. Is that I looked at the seek word in each scripture and saw, like, that's not the same thing. So that's why I asked him, why is it different? And so that's why you got that little bit.
I usually catch those things, but I didn't catch it this time.
I really love this because what this does is it makes me hunt and peck, makes me search out for the real true meaning of what it is. So if you all don't have what's called a parallel Bible, I highly recommend it because it gives you different versions. And the King James Version Plus is the one that has the definitions that you can pop on and just read the definition.
Kind of reminds me of the proverb. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings, priests, to search it out. That's what we are, so... Amen.
We're both hunting peckers.
Yeah.
We really are. We just love doing that.
So
kind
here's
of thing.
A couple of, last week we did several translations. I picked a couple this week that I think really focus well on this idea of seek from a different angle. So go ahead and read those. Matthew 6:33 in the Message and the Passion.
Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met.
I love it. Steep your life, as you said last week.
Like
you know,
the
idea like a tea bag. And what does it have to do? It has to sit a while for it to really, really mature. And sometimes it takes us to sit a while, like we were doing during worship, for something to take in us. You know,
yeah.
Most of us are used to microwave life, right? Yeah. I mean, if we go to the fast checkout and there's a line, you know, we have a breakdown. You know, because we think that fast checkout, I'm going to get, no, there's people there. You know, we think we're going to go right up to the scan and go, right. You know. But sometimes it takes a while. We have to, you know, germinate.
Marinate.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And then this is the Passion Translation. So above all, constantly chase after. Don't you just love that? Constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly.
Amen. So if you haven't figured out yet, we're talking about seeking first today. So let's go ahead and look at those two words in the Greek. First word is zeteo. I think I pronounced it okay. Mm-hmm. To seek in order to find, to seek a thing, to seek in order to find out. And then I like this part. By thinking, by meditating, by reasoning, to inquire into, to seek after, to seek for, to aim at, to strive after. This thinking, meditating, reasoning, inquiring into, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Joshua 1:8, where it says, let this book not depart from your eyes, but meditate on it, germinate on it, ruminate on it. It's the same word that's used for a cow when he like eats his food and it comes back up. I know it sounds bad, but it's basically letting it process in us. And that's part of what this seeking is. The seeking isn't like, oh, I sought God this morning and I'm good for the week. No, it's a constant, like the word says, chasing after, mm-hmm. pursuance. And it takes a discipline to seek. It doesn't come naturally. I wish it did. I wish being hungry for God just came naturally. Sometimes the Lord puts a hunger in us that you just can't explain. And I've had that happen before. But really, a disciple disciplined life is like something you have to purpose to do. It's a choice. I could get up this morning and I could just choose to, you know, to do whatever I want to do. There's plenty of things that, you know, you can watch, plenty of things you can read, plenty of things, you know, you can, you know, check out what's going on social media-wise. I'm not a social media guy, but anyway, there's all those things that you could do to take up your time. Or you can say, Lord, how am I going to pursue you this morning? What is going to be my action that I take that will make my desire for you proven that it's real, that it's not just lip service?
When we were first dating, I got all panicky if 2 days went by and I didn't hear from them. It'd be like, oh, no, he doesn't like me, you know?
Very and, first dating, yeah.
But God wants us to pursue him. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be pursued by this guy. And to me, when he pursued me, that told me of his interest in me. That told me of his longing for
That's
me.
That's good.
That told me of his interest in what I had going on in my life. That's how we need to be with the Lord, pursuing, interested in the things that he's interested in. And it's something is going in my brain right now about break my heart for what breaks your heart, Lord.
Mm, yeah.
And to me, his heart breaks for his kids that don't pursue him. He's like, it's been how many days, and you haven't even said a word to me. A long time ago, there was an artist. His name was Larnell Harris, and he sang a song, and the song was, I Miss My Time With You.
Oh, yeah.
And it was from the Lord to his people, and it said, I miss my time with you, those moments together. How can you serve me if your spirit is empty? And it's like, whoa, that is hard, but it's so true. How can we serve him from an emptiness? So exactly, we can't. So us pursuing him, that's his love language. He gets all over that when he's pursued by us. And he can't help himself to turn around and pursue back. That he's drawn by that. He is so enamored by the one's heart that is solely longing after him. It's almost like a spiritual radar going, oh, that one wants more. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's called the eyes of the Lord.
Yes.
They search to and fro throughout all the earth, looking for a heart that's turned towards him.
Yes.
Draw near to God, and guess what he does? He draws near to us.
Yes.
The word promises those things.
Yes.
Amen. First, what is first? It's first in time or place. It's any succession of things or persons. First in rank. Influence. That's a real key. What is your influence in your life? What influences you? I think that's really, in our day and age, that's really what we need to figure out is what's influencing us. What's the principal thing in our life that holds our attention, that captivates us, so to speak? Is it God? Is it his kingdom? Or is it everything else out here that's so distracting? And you know, not all of it's bad. Some of it's really good. Some of it's great information. Some of it's teaching to us. But the thing is when we're doing things that's not transforming us for his kingdom, for who he wants us to be, those are things that we need to ask Holy Spirit to help us with, to bring it so that that's not our number one thing. Let's look at a verse here,
okay,
and I think
I just
this
have
might
to say this.
It.
I have to tell on you real quick.
Tell on me?
Yes.
Okay.
So this happened on Friday.
Oh, okay.
He was taking Grandma home, and they got to the driveway. They pulled in. He got out of the car, and all of a sudden, Grandma's little alarm that she wears was going off, fall protected.
Purse.
In her purse. Inside her purse.
So I started hunting for it.
Her purse had been squeezed.
No,
somehow,
probably the little button on her neck got squeezed.
Anyway,
yeah.
It was going off.
False alarm.
But this is how we are as God's children. He took her purse, walked away from her, walked up the steps into the house, and left her standing there with her walker. On precarious ground, he just totally,
sorry, Vicky.
all he could think of is, I got to get to this alarm before they send out the ambulance that there is a fall protect. I mean, I've got to figure this out. So he leaves her standing outside by herself.
Well, I told her I'm going to go inside, so.
But she had to get herself in the house by herself.
She didn't have to get. She could have stayed there. But yes, I totally forgot about her.
God knows that we can be...
Squirrel? Yeah.
God knows we can be like that. So all we have to do is just say, Lord, my desire is to not be so squirrely.
Yeah.
Your guys are going to remember this later when it comes to a time where all of a sudden it's going to happen to you and you're going to remember... Fall detected. And you're going to remember him.
Stupid,
and it's going to remind you that God wants to be the one you're looking at. And so I told him, I said, you should have just taken her in the house with you. But I had to get that alarm. I mean, he just had every excuse in the world. But Jesus wants us to be pursuing him. Just say that. Okay.
Yeah. Amen. He wants to be principal. He wants to be chief. He wants to be the one we honor. He wants to be the one who's influencing us and first in rank,
yes,
right?
Yes, amen.
So this is Deuteronomy. This is kind of, this verse starts off a little different. Come on. Hello.
This is the ESV version.
It's always ESV, yeah. Unless otherwise
stated. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you.
Let me back up. So this is Moses. This is him giving basically a declaration to the people before he's getting ready to go and disappear. And Joshua is going to be the one that takes him into the promised land. And he's encouraging him at the very beginning, but he says, eventually, what's going to happen is you're going to start looking, you know, at other places, and they have these gods, or you're going to look at these animals, and you never saw me, so you're going to want to try to create me, and you're going to want to have something physical that you can worship, and you're going to look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, and you say, well, that must be God, and you're going to start worshiping them, and because of that, these things are going to happen to you. So go ahead.
And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands, that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Now, I can't tell you how many times that happened to Israel. They would get to a place where they would be at the very end of their rope. They would be at the bottom of the barrel. They would be, eating, I don't want to tell you, but eating things that they shouldn't even be eating because they're so hungry. And all of a sudden they look up and they realize that they've abandoned their God. And they start to seek him with all their heart, with all their soul. And guess what? They find him. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is a encouragement in the Old Testament. How much more of us in the New Testament is Jesus saying, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. That's seeking him. That's coming to the one that's going to fulfill us, the one that's going to give us a place of peace and rest. Beautiful. Here's another verse. How many have heard of Jeremiah 29:11? Well, just two verses down, just the neighbor to Jeremiah 11 is 13, and this is what it says.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Remember that time you gave me that?
I made it for you.
Oh, you made it, yeah. One of the women's deals or something, yeah. But it had this verse, and it was a Bible
bookmark.
Mm-hmm. And I had it for years. I probably still have it in one of my Bibles. It's probably sealed up somewhere because can't really put that in an electronic Bible. But anyway, the idea is that this is, again, the very beginning of Jeremiah 29 is not a pretty story. It's about all of them abandoning him and running away. And he's got judgment coming because they have not been listening to his voice in their life. But in the middle, it says, no, if you seek me, you're going to find me when you seek me with all your heart. Mm-hmm. What is with all your heart? Sounds like to me, it's our being. It's like everything that we are. It's our strength. You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. That's what this reminds me of. It's a relentless chasing after God. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at another verse. This is still in the Old Testament.
Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you.
So it's sow righteousness, reap steadfast love, but something about breaking up this fallow ground to seek. It's like after a while, we can become kind of either apathetic or maybe we're disappointed, maybe we're just despondent. And we need to do things in us to stir us up. Yes. We need to maybe do some things to change our position. Let's say that you're used to not raising your hands in church. It's just the way you were raised, and it's fine, no big deal. Yeah, but making that much of a change in a worship service all of a sudden can do something in you because you're changing your posture. Maybe you're just used to sitting at your chair in the morning and reading a couple of verses and stuff. Maybe what you need to do is put them on your phone or put them in your head and go out for a walk, and just change your atmosphere, your environment. That's kind of breaking up the fallow ground. Sometimes it requires repentance when the Holy Spirit is reminding us of things that we've done that have grieved Him. And grieved the Lord, and it allowed us to become stagnant, or allowed us to become backslidden. We need to say, Father, forgive me. I did not mean to hurt you. Mm-hmm. I ask for your forgiveness, and I ask that you would renew a right heart in me. Mm-hmm. Make me clean once again, Lord. Break up this hard ground so that I can seek you. Somebody say, well, that is seeking him. Well, sometimes that's just a process of just making it so you can seek. Because seeking to me is not a one-day thing. Seeking is not just a 21-day fast. We just got done with a 21-day fast. Somebody's like, oh, I sought the Lord for 21 days. I'm good for the year. Okay, so it's like saying, I ate food for 21 days. I'm good for the rest of the year. Really? Start eating 21 days and then not eat the rest of the year, that's going to be hard on you, right? But we think spiritually that equates. Yeah. Some people think, well, coming to church on Sunday, I'm plugged into the IV, I'm getting infusion, I'm good enough till next Sunday. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. You have no idea what you're going to face this week. Sunday, when you walk out that door, may be already fallen off of you. And you need the Lord in the morning. Early do I seek thee. That's why I believe that it's good to start your morning off with some kind of spiritual devotion. Whether it's a song, whether it's a reading a verse. I just sent, we have a dear brother, and he says hi to everybody, by the way.
Derek Billy.
Derek Billy is in Shelton. You guys remember Derek? He's been going through a process. He's on a road to restoration, but he's going to be in there about a year. He's kind of making up for some other things that he did when he kind of lost his way, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And yet, he's seeking after the Lord now. He says hi to everybody. He greets the family of God. But I sent him a Jesus calling because I heard yesterday that he's having a hard time. Mm-hmm. And to me, I start every morning with a Jesus calling. Now, it's not always 100% theologically correct, but what is? I'm telling you, me speaking on a Sunday, I'm probably not always 100% theologically correct. The verses are, there you go. Stay pretty safe when you're using verses, amen. But I'm just saying, you know, the thing is that it encourages my heart. It's the way I can start a morning. Sometimes it's not applicable for my day, but a lot of times it's just reminding me to let Jesus call me all day long, to let him guide and direct my heart. Yeah. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, that's part of seeking the Lord. Yep. Keeps you alive. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to get a mic on you. She says she has in her bathroom a scripture, and I've seen it. She's not lying. It says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And she walks into the bathroom, and she says that every morning. She reminds herself that she can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. And that sounds like that's part of her morning devotion. But again, we need to find something mm-hmm. that energizes us in the things of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen? What's that?
That's how she climbed them stairs.
That's how she climbed them stairs, yeah. Yes, amen. Okay, Acts 15-18.
Acts 15, 15 through 18.
Thank you.
And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old.
So what is this saying? This is when it's called the Jerusalem Council meeting, Jerusalem meeting. It's very famous when Paul and Silas, I believe, came to them and were telling them all the great things that God had done for the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles were being encouraged to be circumcised, and they said, "Hey, you know, we don't believe that the Gentiles need to be circumcised to be saved." And so they had this big council, and finally, I believe this was James, and he says, "This is what was written in the prophets, and that it's that the tabernacle of David that had fallen down. What was that? That was a special time." In the time of Israel, where literally David put up the tabernacle and had the Ark of the Covenant actually at the door, and people would go and worship there. It was totally different than the full temple thing. But this was to say that all of mankind could access God. David had a very messianic or a Messiah type vision. And he had in his heart, he knew, he gave some of the Psalms, that all nations would worship God. All nations would come to God. That it wouldn't be because they were just Jew only, but all nations would come. And so this is what James is saying here, that that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can now seek the Lord. Before that, all those promises and everything, that was to Israel. There were a few Gentiles that got in because they got around the right people and they made the right decisions.
They were grandfathered in.
They're grandfathered in, yeah. But when Christ came, he opened up the door for all of us to seek the Lord. And we have an opportunity now, whether we're Jew or Gentile, is to seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. Notice that it was a key scripture here that he's using. He's saying what's going on in all of these places is that they have an opportunity to seek God. I think sometimes we neglect this opportunity that we have. We don't look at it as valuable. We don't look at it as something that was a gift to us. We look at it as something, oh, I got to do this. Mm-hmm. I got to read my Bible. Oh, I can't go skiing today. Well, maybe I can go skiing later on, but I got to read my Bible right now. I mean, no, that should not be that. If that's the way you feel, don't do it, please. Please don't do it for that reason. God says, I love a cheerful giver. He loves somebody that is cheerfully coming to him. If you can cheerfully say, Jesus, I love you, then do that. Don't try to read 20 verses and say, oh, I'm doing this, or I'm reading a proverb today. I heard Pastor Mike reads a proverb today. I'm going to do it, and oh, I don't like it. Well, don't do it if you don't like it. What you like, do in your relationship to God, because he's pleased with that. Mm-hmm. He's not pleased with an offering that has no joy in it. He wants a heart of joy when we do something for him. That's why Pastor Eric has said before, if you come to church and you're miserable, don't come to church. What did Pastor Mike just say? Well, it's the point. God asks us to give freely. And if you're coming to church begrudgingly, then don't come to church. It'd be better if you stayed home and enjoyed yourself watching a football game. Hello?
Okay.
I'm just trying to say, why are we here? What are we doing? Are we doing something? Yeah, sorry, I don't want to give Patrick any ideas. But no, but why are we here? What are we doing? Are we here because someone told us we had to be here 30 years ago, and so we're here now? Or are we here because we have an opportunity, have a relationship with the living God who lives in us? See, part of the thing is that we've been taught wrong. We've been taught that going to church is part of the sanctification process. Oh, it really isn't.
No.
What the sanctification process is dying to yourself.
Amen.
It's not fulfilling some function. Me being a pastor is not a sanctification process, I'm telling you right now. Even me teaching on these great verses, if I don't live them out, if I don't die to myself, they're empty words in my life. The word has to become flesh in me, just as it did in Jesus. And then his grace and truth has to become real in me. We need to become living grace and truth because we've let our life be filled with the life of God. Amen?
And it reminds me of what David says. Don't offer anything that doesn't cost you something.
There you go.
What costs you to be here? If it's coming with your family, but you're having to, miss your football game, then send your family, stay home. However, God loves a heart that says, you know what, Lord, I don't care about that football game. It's going to have an ending score no matter whether I watch it or not. Right?
Well, I'm not telling you to leave, but I'm telling you what's the reason that we're here.
Exactly.
And if we're giving something because we're giving it begrudgingly, whether it's our tithe or anything, there's no reason to give it. It's just like if we're doing things not motivated by love,
right?
We might as well not do them.
But
because
the motivation of love is the offering.
There you go.
That's what I'm trying to say. The motivation of love is the offering. And I want to offer God something that cost me something. I want it to be something that cost me. Because if I don't, then what good is it? What good is it really?
It does
cost us. Sacrifice of love, yes.
But are we doing it? What is the motivation?
Right.
I think that's why we need to examine our hearts. Lord, why do I do what I do? How do I view you in my life? Am I doing this because I've always done it? Or am I doing it because I know you're in it.
Yeah.
See, there has to be a mindset change in the body of Christ if we're going to transform the world. Because mm-hmm. we can't keep doing the same things we've been doing, you know, for however many years we've been doing it.
Right.
You know, I believe that there is an anointing for us, as there is in every, you know, I guess you could call it, you know, existence of a generation. There's an anointing for us to walk in. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying something this day. What is the Spirit saying? And if all of us could connect with that for our lives, then I think we'll be world changers.
Right.
I mean, we pray for the city to be transformed. We'll start with us, Lord. Transform me. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on a rant.
That's okay. That's good.
All right. Hebrews 11, 5 through 6. I talked about Enoch last week.
But by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
He rewards us. He. If we seek him, he will reward us. But again, that shouldn't be just the motivation, though I want to get a reward. But if we because I tell you, Enoch, I don't think, had a relationship with God because he was going to get something. I think he had a relationship with God because he loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why God took him. He said, you know,
motivated
I'm tired
God.
Of this distance between us. I just want you with me. Because you rock my world, Enoch. I want you to be with me. And he has a testimony that no other man has ever had.
Yeah.
He's the only one that other than maybe Elijah, who was carried up in a chair, that we know of, carried up in a chariot of fire. But before even you know, the time of the law or anything was written, Enoch knew that he could have a relationship with God. And like I said, he must have had an understanding of Jesus. He must have had an understanding that, because keep in mind, Enoch was old enough to sit on his grandpa's Adam's lap. Adam was still alive when Enoch was born. When that revelation first came to me, like, oh, wow. So Enoch probably sat on Adam's lap and was told by Adam what it was like to walk with God before the angels blocked off the tree of life and entered the garden.
Wow.
Something must have happened in that young man's heart when he had kids. It said that he lived 300 years, and then he had kids, and then he started walking with God in a different way for 65
father
years.
Heart.
The father heart. Yep. He must have understood something.
Mm-hmm.
There was a grace on his life, just like it's on our life.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 3, 1 through 2.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
If then you've been raised with Christ, and it says that we have been raised with Christ. In other words, we died to our old man, and we were raised into a new man, a new life, new creations. Baptism is a fulfillment of that. And now that we've been raised out of that old life, out of that old way of thinking, like it says in Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be molded by this world. Don't be influenced by the world's concepts and systems, but be what? Transformed. That word is metamorphosized in the Greek, where we get our word metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means that we're going to allow God to change the way we think. That's what the renewing of the mind is. I'm choosing to not think the old way that I used to think. I want to think brand new. I want to think mm-hmm. in truth. I want to think in light. I want to think as God thinks. Because we have the mind of Christ. It says that. I mean, sometimes I wonder, how did I do that? I have the mind of Christ. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. But I'm not letting the Spirit influence me then. I'm letting the world conform me. And that's why garbage comes out, because sometimes garbage goes in. Guess what comes out? Garbage. So seek the things that are above. Seek them. That word seek again means pursue them, chase after them. don't be satisfied with our Christianity at this point in our life. Don't say, well, I've done my time. For those of us who are over 60 now, oh, you know, some are much older, right? A little in between. Yeah, but I mean, don't just say, well, we've done my time. I don't need to pursue God so hard right now. I don't need to let the mission of the Great Commission be so influenced on my life, because I've worked hard, and some of us can say that, but guess what? We're not done till we're done. As believers, you know, we're not retired until we're resurrected into the fullness of who He is by this transformation of this mortal body into this glorious body. I truly believe that retirement is not a biblical process. I mean, maybe you'll end working at a job, but just going into retirement and just sitting back and taking it easy, I don't think it's biblical. I think we need to constantly, he says, oh, I want to sit on a beach somewhere. It's like, well, there's...
Even on a porch in a rocking chair sounds good right about now.
But I'm telling you, the thing is that when are we then telling God, well, God, you're finished using me? And granted, He can use you in a mobile home park or what is it, an RV park while you're traveling the country. He can use you. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, I believe that God's always got something amazing for us, mm-hmm. if we're seeking for it, if we're seeking for His above, not below.
Right. Amen.
So, seek first, above everything else, mm-hmm. above every other influence in your life, above every other principle. Isn't it interesting that principle is there? What comes from principle? Principalities. And I think sometimes principalities cause us to be not focused on the right things. Mm. As it says, we're not warring against flesh and blood. That's even ourselves. Sometimes we're going like, oh, I don't understand why I'm doing that. Well, it could be principalities we're dealing with. And you know how we deal with them? The name, the blood of Jesus. Right. We say, I do not receive this anymore in my life. I receive Christ's anointing. I receive Christ's truth. I don't receive this lie anymore. Mm-hmm. Like Vicki was saying earlier, sometimes people have spoken things over us that are lies, and we start to believe them more than what we believe what God says about us. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we sometimes negate what God's doing in us because we're letting the negative come in. Just as Jesus could do no great miracles in His hometown. They all knew who He was. They're all familiar with Him. We could become so familiar with ourselves that we don't realize that we're more than what we appear to be right now. You know, we're children of God. That means we're connected in a heavenly way with in a divine way with the God who made everything.
Yeah.
And we're connected in such a way that His life flows into us. Mm-hmm. So how do we live in response to that life? Just like you were raised with Christ, then you should seek the things that are above, because when Jesus revealed, you're going to be revealed with Him. You're not the same as you used to be. Amen. I know you can tell I'm excited about these things, because it's telling us that there's more to this Christian walk than just a good Bible study. Or there's more to this Christian walk than just a great Holy Spirit time. There's a life of faith that we have an opportunity to walk that's really a miracle. It is a miracle. We are a miracle. You have something? I think you have to have the mic because people can't hear you. Hold on. Don't talk. Please. Okay, you have to talk in here.
My sister Marlene has been so ill in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
She went in the hospital the same day I came out in Toppish. And she has had an ear infection, diverticulitis, her jumping legs. Well, they're all better now, but the Lord put it on my heart to be a prayer warrior. And every day I talked to my sister Marlene, I prayed with her. for each and every one of those illnesses. Now she's got a very bad eye infection. She's just awfully being attacked. So I've been praying every day for her on the phone. Lord, you know her heart. Mm. She loves you with all her heart, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, just touch her now, Lord. She wants so bad to get back to church, but she's so being attacked. But Lord, I just love to pray. And I think the Lord has called me out to be a prayer warrior.
Amen.
And I think that's important today at my age, 85, to be. And Marilyn, too, her health. She's 91, my sister-in-law, who lost my brother 2 years ago. I've been praying for her and Theron, my nephew, who's had so many ill problems this year. It's like the Lord took mine away, I'm believing, and give it to them.
So no, Lord, I didn't give it to them.
No, he didn't, but I'm praying for each and every one.
Amen.
And I think the Lord called me out to be a prayer warrior, and that's why he still wants me here, too.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Sorry, I hope I didn't mess you up, Jesse. He's like, on it. Thank you. Thank you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's, go ahead. Come on, Vicki. Yeah, this direction. Okay.
What Gaylene said.
She might have turned it off. Did she turn it off? Yeah, she does. She flips it off.
So we're talking about seeking, and I loved how Gaylene said pursuing,
mm-hmm.
and that we love to be pursued. At the beginning of the relationship, we love to be pursued. And God loves for us to pursue him, but he also wants us to pursue him when we've been his child forever.
Yeah.
You know, just like we want our husbands to pursue us after all these years
right.
of marriage. God still wants us to pursue him no matter how long we've been his child, no matter how long we've been his. He still wants us to pursue him, and he will still pursue us.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, some of us need to get God some flowers or write him a love letter, send him a card. In other words, another level of saying, Lord, I'm devoted to you. I know you're devoted to me. I want to be devoted to you. Come on up, Bob. Which way are we? Okay.
You know, we're talking about pursuing God, but God pursues us much more than we deserve. He pursues us. He's pursuing us. He's looking after each one of us.
Yep.
And I was thinking about when you were talking about Mike leaving Joanne. and I thought, you know, that's just a man being a man, you know. A woman probably wouldn't have done that. She's not, the mechanical type, you know. But God is all to everyone,
Amen.
You know. And he would be caring for each one of us, hallelujah.
He's pursuing each one of us.
Yeah.
And it is time to connect with him.
Amen.
And time is getting short. I believe that the way things are going in the government and everything else, time is getting short. And we need to pursue him like we've never pursued him before.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together. And Lord, I know that all of us are in a different state and a different walk. We're in different processes and all of that, Lord, and that someone's seeking tomorrow or when they leave this place of you will be much different than mine or anyone else's. But Lord, I pray that all of us, that you, Holy Spirit, would challenge all of us for a new level of seeking you, seeking the kingdom, seeking it first, above all else, before anything else comes in the way, that we would seek you first. And Lord, that it would be out of pure devotion. It'd be out of pure love. It'd be out of, Lord, an honest heart, a purity of heart, Lord. And that when we do that, Lord, that we will find you, as your word says. We will have all of our other needs met, Lord, as we do that. And Lord, that our life would be an example, Lord, for others to also see that they can seek you and find you, Lord. Maybe it's find you for the very first time. Lord, I just thank you that you're working in every life here today. You're working on all of our lives, Lord, as we say, even when we don't see you working, Lord, we know you're working. Even when we don't feel you're working, Lord, you're working. Lord, we thank you for this service. Thank you, God, that you are going to do above and beyond, Lord, anything we could believe or ask or think, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Circumstances look like, God, it does not change your goodness, God. Thank you, Jesus, that as we pursue you, you pursue us, God. And God, I thank you that even when we don't pursue you, you still pursue us. And God, I just pray as we go about our week, God, our hearts would be in pursuit of you, God. Everything that we're doing, God. In our workplaces, in our families, in our schools, that it would be all about pursuing you, God. I just thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, that we would be reminded every single day, Lord, that no matter what life looks like, you are still good. And I just thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, guys. Love you.